Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message. Verse 17, and of course, if you were here last week, you'll remember that this passage is about the children of Israel getting ready to go in and spy the land of Canaan, the promised land. And so there were spies sent in, 12 spies sent in, and Moses gave them orders to go in and see what was going on in the land and to bring back the report. And so let's pick up in verse 17 and read some of this here. It says, "Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes." Now I want to stop there for a second. It's interesting because Moses gives them this command of be of good courage. Be of good courage. And you know, if we didn't have the ability to either be afraid or be of good courage, then Moses would have never told them to be of good courage. If we had no choice, if we had to succumb to the feelings or to the pressure of what we see, and we had no choice in that, Moses would have never told them, just as God told Joshua to be of good courage. He told Joshua to be of good courage. I'm going to give you the land. You're going to go in and you're going to take the land. And so he knew that there was going to be something that would cause the temptation of fear. Those giants would cause a temptation of fear, but just because that temptation is there doesn't mean that that's what you have to focus on. He says, be of good courage. That means we have a choice. That means we can choose to be bold. We can choose courage over fear. We can choose to keep our eyes upon the promises of God instead of the report of the giants. And he says, bring back some of the fruit if you can. So verse 21, he says, "So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and they came to Hebron, Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai. The descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between the two of them on a pole. And they also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. I want to stop again for a moment. After 40 days, you know, sometimes I don't think that we understand the importance of vision. There's 40 days that they spent in the land scoping things out. Do you remember before this, years before this, God sent Abraham into this land. He said, go to a land that I will show you. And when you get there, I'll tell you to stop, leave your family, leave your kin, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you something wonderful. I'm going to give you something great. I'm going to give you an inheritance, a portion that's going to be yours. And then when he finally gets to that land, and when Lot departs, and he's now standing there, and God says, now, go look at the length, the breadth of the land, and begin to see. Because I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to give you the descendants like the stars of the sky and like the sand of the shore. And he begins to give Abraham what I call this vision board. that's before him at all times, night or day, a vision board, to see the stars in the sky, to see the sand on the shore, and to realize what God has promised him. He says, go look it up. Go walk the length, the breadth of the land, and see what I'm going to give you. Do you see what God wants to give you? Or are you just living day by day, and just whatever comes, comes? Do you see what God wants to give you? Do you have it in your spirit? Is there something in you that says, this is my portion, this is my inheritance that God's going to give me? He has placed this desire in me. He has put it in my heart. He's put it in my spirit, and I'm going to have that which God has promised me. You know, this promised land that was flowing with milk and honey, this promised land that was lush and it was green and it had great things and it had homes that they didn't build, vineyards that they didn't plant, things that were in this land that were going to be made available to them. And guess who grabbed a hold of that promise? Joshua and Caleb. And they grabbed a hold of that and they came back, the Bible says, with a different report. Let's go ahead and read the rest of it. But I want you to keep that in mind. For 40 days, they were in there focusing on what God was going to give them. Now, we understand 10 of them were focused on the wrong thing. 10 of them were focused on the giants, and 2 of them were focused on the land, on the promise. So let's continue to read. It says, verse 26, now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. He said, let's go at once. No more talking. Quit the bad stories. Quit the bad reports. Let's go up at once before you begin to get this in your head. Let's go up at once, for God has given us the land. Let's go up at once, for God is for us. And who can be against us? So he's quieting the reports. He's trying to silence that voice of fear. He's trying to silence that negative speaking that gets in, and it's like a poison in the camp that begins to spread. And he says, let's go up at once. See, faith moves now. Faith is in action. Faith is something that is ready to move. It doesn't just sit and wait. It's ready to move. It's full of courage. You know, Joyce Myers preaches a sermon, Do It Afraid. You know, fear, it's not like we're exempt from fear. It's not that fear doesn't come. It's not that things don't look at us and offer the temptation of being afraid to step out. But God says that we can do it because of our faith in him, not because of our fear of our own inadequacies, our own insecurities, our own lack of resources. But he says to have faith in him, not in yourselves. So our faith is in him. Be bold and courageous, because I will give you the land. It's not that you are going to be able to possess it on your own, but in his strength and in his power, you will take the land. What is God giving to you? What has he set in your mind's eye? Do you have something in the spirit that you see that you know that God wants to give to you? What has he birthed in you? If it's been a while, you might have to stop and ask yourself that question. If you've sat for a while and thought, you know, I haven't really strived for anything. I haven't really felt that for a while. You might have to stop and think, have I been moving in faith? Do I have something ahead of me that I am believing God for, or have I just kind of sat and just been cruising through life and haven't really activated anything? What is God speaking to you? What does he have for you? And you might have to spend a few of those days like they did, the 40 days of exploring the land. You might have to explore that. You might have to begin to see that. You might have to take the time to begin to see that in the spirit. See, everything in the natural gets birthed through the spirit first. Everything that's in the spirit that comes through you, it's because you saw it in the spirit first, and then you birthed it into the natural because of your belief and your faith in God. Because you chose to believe it, and then you begin to speak it. See, it's out of the abundance. Once your heart gets filled up, once you begin to meditate on it and you believe it and you begin to it begins to flow out of your mouth because you begin to speak it because you filled yourself up with what? That vision, with what? The belief, the faith that God has it for you. And that's exactly what Joshua and Caleb did. They filled themselves up with that belief, with that vision, and they believed that they could take the land. They believed that God was going to, that his word was yes and amen towards them. That it wasn't just, well, God's just talking and he really didn't mean what he said. In fact, let me show you something here. He says, let us go up and take the land. And of course, you know, they spread the bad report. And then if you skip over, I want to show you something. Skip over to chapter 14, and I want to hit on a couple verses here. I want you to see how God words this, what he says about it. Look at verse 22. It says, because all the men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now, these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice. Have not heeded my voice. They didn't listen to his voice. They didn't heed to his voice. It's not that he wasn't speaking, but they didn't heed to it. They didn't lean in. They didn't incline their ear to what he was saying. They didn't take the time to allow it to get in them. They had doubt. They had unbelief instead. And it goes on and it says, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, say fully, I will bring him, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Skip down to verse 28. It says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. That which they have spoken, that we shall not have the land, he says, that's what you'll get. If that's what you're speaking, that's what you'll get. If that's what you believe, that's what you'll get. And he goes on and he says, the carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun, you shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. And I think that's interesting. See, most of the time when we reject something, we don't think we're actually rejecting it. We go, oh, yeah, I believe in God's word. I believe his word, but I don't know. I don't know if it's really true for me. I don't know if he's going to do it for me. Oh, yeah, if God wants to do it, then he'll do it. But in reality, are we not heeding to his word? Are we rejecting his word? Are we aligning ourselves, or are we despising it? See, we would look at that and go, well, that's pretty harsh. Those are some strong words. Reject, despise, not heeding. Well, that's not me. But if we don't believe in faith, then that's what we're doing. So in order to see the promises, in order to see it come to pass, we have to heed. We have to receive. We have to have the faith to receive. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 that Sarah had the faith to receive strength to conceive. The faith to receive strength to conceive. God will give you strength to conceive your dream. God will give you strength to conceive, to receive and conceive what it is that he's placed in you. If you will believe and have faith to receive. See, many times people are waiting for the strength to hit them before they walk it out. Well, when he gives me strength, then I'll do this. It comes as you step into it. When you obey, then it comes. But it's not going to come before then. We have to be willing to step into it. We have to be willing to step into it. You know, Pastor Brad talked a lot about zeal and passion last week. And I want to continue on with that idea of passion, because seeing something come to pass in your life will require passion. It will require zeal. And what is that? What is passion? What is zeal? It's when your heart is tied to something. Not just your mind, but your heart. The very essence of who you are is tied to something. Your affections, your willpower, your desires. And it's tied to something. It's anchored to it. So that you're willing to do whatever it takes to get it done. Passion is a requirement to see things come to pass in your life. In fact, the Bible speaks of Jesus and says, passion or zeal for your house has consumed me. It's the very thing, you know, oftentimes we call the death of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, the passion of Christ. What was his passion? You. Us as humanity, you were his passion. Think about that for a moment. You were his passion. To the point that he did what? Poured his whole life out for you. He went to the cross. Everything he did, even the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the preachings, the teachings, the healings, everything he did for you. He did for me. It was to show you who he was. It was to show you God in flesh. It was to show you the love of the Father. His passion was you. And if that meant taking him to the cross, he said, Father, if there's another way, let this cup be taken from me. But not my will, but yours be done. And that's how we have to be. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we're living life and we just think, oh, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is my plan. This is my goal. But we got to make sure that our life goals are his will for our life. Because otherwise it's all in vain. And we get to a place in eternity, and when everything's burnt up, all of our works and everything goes through the fire, and if we only come through with just ourselves standing, and all of our works are burnt up because they were all ours. They were our works and not the works that God had put in us, not the plans that he put in us, not the vision and the purpose that he had for us. Then there's very few rewards. But if we spend our life with the passion of God and the will of God and the intent of God, the vision of God And we're doing all of those things for him. And our eyes are not on what people say or what they do or what they think of us or their opinion. But instead, it's for Christ. Instead, our purposes and our dreams are for him. Our even ministering to people, it's for him. Whether they reject us or receive us, it's for him. It's for his plan. It's for his purpose. So therefore, we're able to keep going. We're able to continue because it's not based upon whether they receive us, whether they love us, whether they reject us or not. It's because I do it for him, because he's called me to this. He's called me to the plan and the purposes. And so I continue to do it for him because he's the holder of my reward. No man is the holder of my reward. You can't look at man as your source of reward or approval or anything. You've got to see Jesus. You've got to see him as the holder of your reward. He rewards those who diligently seek him. Those that run after him, he rewards. He's searching across the earth to see whose hearts are fully devoted, wholeheartedly devoted to him. And then he shows himself strong on their behalf. The Bible is full of it. The Bible is full of men and women who wholeheartedly sought the Lord. And as a result, he showed himself strong on their behalf. That's a promise that he has for you. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to shame you. But instead, he upholds you with his righteous right hand. So when you go in and you know that you're doing his will, you're continuing in the plan of his, then he's going to uphold you. He's never going to shame you. He's going to make sure that you stand. He's going to make sure that you continue and that you are brought through time and time and time again, and that you're being purified every step of the way. And he's giving you understanding, and he's growing you and stretching you. And before you know it, you're doing more than what you ever thought could be done because your faith is in him. Your zeal and your passion has an expression. Or it should. It should. The men and women of the Bible, their passion had an expression. It had a face. What do I mean by that? If you look at just about every example that God gives us of the men and women of God, what they did, what did Esther do? Though I perish, if I perish, I perish. I'm going in to do what? To save the nation of Israel. Because Mordecai had already told her, if you don't do it, somebody else will. Don't think that you haven't been put into the palace for such a time as this. But if you choose not to do this, God will find someone else. And sometimes, sadly, that happens. Sometimes people bypass the opportunity. Sometimes people bypass the moment they're supposed to step into and say, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to give this my all. I'm going to put everything of my life into this. And then God shows up on their behalf and shows himself strong. But some people bypass that opportunity, and he's got to find somebody that say, yes, I'll do it. And so sometimes that might be you. You might be the person because someone else bypassed it. You might be that person. And you're going, yes, I will. And you don't feel qualified, but he's not looking for someone that's qualified. He's looking for someone that's made himself available and says, yes, Lord, use me. I'm not going to trust in my own works. I'm not going to trust in my own strength. I'm not going to trust in my own self. I'm going to trust in you. I'm trusting in your word. I'm trusting in your promise, that your promises are what they say they are. You said you would give us this, so I'm trusting in you, and I'm going after it. Zeal has an expression. Passion has an expression. You can see, as Pastor Brad said last week, you can see when people are passionate for something or not. It shows by what? Not just their face, even though that's part of it, but by what they do. by what they do. You can see when someone is passionate in their worship. You can see when someone is passionate with the call of God on their life. You can see when someone is passionate. What made Peter say, Jesus, call me out. Call me out onto the water, I'll come. His passion to be like Christ. Jesus, I see what you're doing. Let me do it too. Now, there's no way that Peter would have ever thought, like, okay, I have the ability to walk on water too. Like, I can do this. There's no way. He knew that it had to be by the hand of God, by the power of God. Jesus, call me out. You say I can do it, and then I'll obey. I'll do it. Because I want to be like you, Lord. I want to be like you. And Jesus says, come. And Peter does it. What caused Paul to plant church after church after church? Even churches he'd never been to. Do you know he'd never even been to the church in Colossae? But it got started. Do you realize there's churches that Dr. Morocco hasn't even been to in Kings? But they've been started. Why? Because of the passion of him and the passion of the people. There are passionate people that give and there are passionate people that go. What are they? That's expressions of passion. Expressions of zeal for what? For their Father's house. They give in order for there to be the ability for churches to be planted, to make a way, to reach the lost. And then there are passions in people that say, I'm willing to go. Maybe where one person can't, but I will go because I can and I've made myself available. An expression of passion. David dancing before the Lord, an expression of his passion and his love for the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not bowing down to an idol. Do you think that there weren't other people? I've thought of this so many times. Do you think in all of that land in Babylon that there were not other Jewish people that did not believe, you know, I know we probably shouldn't be doing this, but, you know, the king has ordered it. I believe in God, but, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and do this and bow down when the music plays. And we'll just, you know, I don't really mean it in my heart. I'm sure there were people that believed in God but did it anyway. But you had three men that said, not us. Even if the fires burn us, my passion for God won't allow me to bow down to another idol. Passion. See, passion has an expression. It shows on a person's life. Not because they say I'm passionate, but because of what they do. Because of what they do. What is that? It's called commitment or consistency. And I want to talk about this for a second. Commitment or consistency. I know it's kind of two different things, and I've lumped it into one for the sake of time. But our commitment to something is our determination or our resolve or our grit to give our time, our energy, our resources, ourselves to something that we believe in, to a cause, to a person, to a body of Christ. And it causes us to do it on a regular basis, not just one time, but a regular basis. Passion causes, sometimes, you know, we got to be careful because sometimes we can lose our passion. You know, it's like the 10 virgins with the lamps, and five made sure that they had their oil, and five didn't. And oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit, yes, but oil was something that had to be produced and bought. It's a representation of our time and our energy and our money and our efforts. See, the five went and bought it, but the other five didn't. The five invested, but the other five did not. And you know, oil is something that you have to use every night, every morning before the sun comes up. So there's a continual thing every day of using oil. So if it starts getting low, then you got to go and you got to buy more oil. So it's a continual thing. It's not just like, oh yeah, I bought some oil and I put it back on the shelf. So we're good to go. When Jesus returns, then I've got some oil. No, that means you're using oil every day. Every day. Well, let's add a little bit more. We're running low. Okay, put it back up there. Add a little bit more. Oh, we're out. I better go get some more. It's a continual thing. And you don't know when the bridegroom is coming. You don't know when that moment is. So you've got to keep it going at all times. We can't lose our passion. You know, even serving in the house on teams. I know sometimes it can feel like, oh yeah, I just show up and do it. Don't lose your passion for what you're doing. Give your whole heart to it. Understand why you're doing what you're doing. Don't just do something and just say, well, I'm just filling a spot. Know why you're doing what you're doing. Make it real. Jesus knew why he was dying for you. He knew why he was going to the cross. It wasn't just this thing that God the Father said, I need you to go to the cross, okay, and give your life. And, you know, you'll figure it out later why. Jesus knew it was to redeem man from the hand of Satan and bring them from darkness into light so that God the Father could have his children restored in relationship. Know why you're doing what you're doing, because it's very much linked to your heart and to your passion level. If you don't understand why you're doing what you're doing, you won't last very long. Or you'll just maybe show up out of obligation. But then again, when you're showing up out of obligation, guess what? You're doing it for someone else, and you're not connected to the Father. You're connected to someone else's expectation. Know why you're doing what you're doing. See, commitment doesn't allow excuses. The Bible says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. In fact, Luke 14:26 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, and, you know, when they translated that, he didn't mean hate as in how we see hate. It means to place as higher value or priority. So if anyone does not place me over their mother or father in priority, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So even Jesus talked about commitment. Your commitment to me has a cost. And he goes on and he says, or not he says, sorry. He said, I already said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Because see, when we commit to something, because here's the big reason why a lot of people don't like to commit, because it has constraints to it. See, there's a difference between people who commit and people who have an interest. People who have an interest go, oh yeah, I'm interested. Until they hear what? The commitment level. And then they're like, ah, no, thanks. See, there's a difference between people that have an interest and people that will commit. Commitment has a restriction to it. And I know we hate those kinds of words, but the Bible is full of restrictions, what? For the purpose of our relationship with him, and it actually protects us. it actually elevates us. It actually brings us into places of blessing. So even though there's restraint to certain things, it comes with a benefit. It comes with a promotion in the spiritual realm. And commitment does not have emotions. And see, many times people try to tie those two together. Commitment doesn't have emotions. Commitment shows up no matter what. Commitment is there no matter what. It's not based upon how I feel that day. Commitment has no emotion to it. It's like, I'm there because I committed. Not because I felt, but because I committed. So zeal and passion shows commitment. It has commitment. Commitment is the product of your belief in something that you value. Commitment is the product. Of your belief in something that you value. Commitment even goes beyond discouragement. That means if you get discouraged in something, you cannot let that discouragement make that choice for you. You remain committed. What has God placed in your heart? Remain committed to it. What has He said over your life? Remain committed to it. What does His word promise you? Remain committed to it. Don't allow the outside circumstances of situations, things that come up, financial status, what someone says, don't allow that discouragement to set in. In fact, I was reading this story. I thought I'd bring it and read it to you. It was interesting. It says this. It says, one day a professor asked the students to prepare for a pop quiz. And as the students waited anxiously, the professor handed out the quiz with the text facing down as usual. So papers turned upside down. Once he handed them all out, he asked the students to flip the page over and begin the quiz. The students were surprised when they saw no questions, just a black dot in the center of the page. And the professor told the students to write what they saw on the page. So the students got busy. They found this task to be a little strange, but started writing on the blank page. At the end of the quiz, the professor took all the answered papers and read each one of them in front of the students. Without exception, all the students described the black dot, explaining its position, its color, its size, etc. The classroom was silent as the professor read through all of their answers. Then he explained, "This test was meant to give you something to think about. You all wrote about the black dot on the paper, but no one focused on all the white around it." And the same thing happens in our lives. We always focus on the dark spots, even though we have reasons to celebrate. Friends around us, jobs that provide our livelihood, and miracles surrounding us every day. When we focus only on the dark spots, our failures, our health issues, lack of money, complicated relationships, disappointments, etc., our minds become polluted by a very small element in a wide span of white compared to all the good things that we have in our lives. So take your eyes away from your failures and anything holding you back. Remember all the positive things that you have going for you and keep moving forward through the rough times. And I just thought that was interesting, and I thought, how often we'll focus in on that one small black dot in the midst of a life of white. What if we focus on the white? You focus on the opportunity. You focus on the things that God has done for you, not forgetting His benefits, not forgetting what He's already done. And that's exactly what the children of Israel did. It says that He said 10 times. It says, they put me to the test now these 10 times have not heeded my voice. Over and over, they've seen my miracles. Over and over, they've heard my word. Over and over. But yet they've chosen not to heed to it. But instead, that we would be a people that heed to his word, that we believe in his word, that we focus. We don't allow discouragement. We don't allow those black spots that might enter in at times to try to cause distraction, because it's the enemy's way of trying to pull us out and trying to get us to complain and get us to worry and get us to be distracted and pulled off of the course of life. But instead to remain full of passion, remain steadfast, remain committed. Minister, can you come to the keyboard, please? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. And as you know, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that entered into the promise. And when you think about the promised land, you need to think about the promises of God that he's given, not only in his word, but what has he given to you personally? What has he spoken to you? Because he's not going to fail in that coming to pass. He won't fail. But we have to do our part. And we have to believe and we have to step into it. We have to have a passion. We have to have a zeal, a commitment to see those things come to pass. You know, it's the part that many times knocks people out. You know, I've seen people start businesses that they had a desire to do. I've seen people start missions, you know, even things that weren't necessarily, you know, life projects. It might have been just starting something that God told them to start, a life group or, you know, something. And it becomes short-lived because it wasn't based upon what God told them. It was based upon their feeling. It was based upon, like I said, commitment isn't a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's something that you choose to do because you're obeying the voice of the Lord. The Bible doesn't ever say that we're not going to face the giants. But he does tell us that if we continue to have faith, we will overcome the giants. It's our faith that knocks them out. It's our faith that overcomes them. It's our belief in what he has said and put in our heart. So those things that maybe one today you need to explore the land. That might be the place that you're at. You might be saying, you know, I'm not real sure what God has. I don't know, or maybe I've dropped some things along the way. I've gotten busy with life and I've just kind of, you know, 2 years ago he said this and I just kind of left it by the wayside. I got excited for a month and then let it go. Sometimes we're so ready for a new word. But have we fulfilled what God has already given to us to fulfill? Because see, it's those things back here that he told us to do that when we heard it, we got all excited about it. Yes, God spoke this. And then a couple months goes by and we lose our excitement. We lose that zeal, that passion. Then we let it go. We're like, all right, God, I'm ready for a new word. I'm ready for a new thing. But see, this was the thing back here that was supposed to grow us. This here, as we walk this out, was going to develop the character in us. It was going to develop the strength and the fortitude in us to carry the next thing, to carry that next step. And we needed this back here because it was supposed to teach us something. There are things in life. I mean, when we started the daycare, it took work. I mean, there were days of work where, I mean, it was just me and Pastor Brad in a big old room, putting up petitions and dividers and drywall and painting and getting it ready for a good solid year. Fire marshals and state regulations and State Department workers coming in, inspecting. You still need to do this. It took determination. It took zeal. It took a passion to see those things through. But we felt like that's what the Lord had told us and put in our heart to do. When we moved to Hana, we knew that the Lord was telling us to do that. It took follow through. It took beginning to sell things off and pack up our house and pack up our kids and leave a place that was secure for us. The home was secure. The job was secure. The family, everything there made sense. But when he spoke, we had to obey. So we step into the unknown, but the knowing. The knowing of what he was calling us to do, but the unknowing of what it was going to be like and where the provision was going to come from, and into a new place of a new title, a new job. New job description, completely different than what we were used to. It took a faith. But you have to be willing to trust him. It took a follow through. This house, it takes commitment. It takes a consistency. It takes follow through. It takes zeal and it takes passion. We're going to see this thing happen. We're going to see the house full. We're going to see the church built, not because we want just a building. That's not it. See, the church, our passion is the people, not the building. The building is only a resource to be able to grow and to be able to reach more. So don't ever think that it's about the building. It's about being able to do more for the kingdom of God, to be more visible in the community, to be able to reach different demographics of people, to be able to house more people, for youth, for children, for life groups, for the family to come together and worship God. Whole families. The passion is for the people. Is your passion for the people? Where's your passion? If you need to stop and write down, what is my passion connected to? Then do that. Write it down. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Connect it to Christ, and I can tell you, if you connect it to Christ, it's going to give you a whole different meaning. He has great things for you, and he wants every person to fulfill it. Because your level of influence, your place of being able to impact people, you've got a mission field that other people don't have. You have people you can reach that I can't necessarily reach. Because I can't be at everybody's jobs every day. You're there every day. You're at your school every day. And those are your people of passion. Let's just bow our head. Father, we desire this morning for your passion to consume us, to fill us. Lord, we're so thankful that you have something supernatural that you've given to us, Father, the passion, the zeal to do your work and to see things from an eternity mindset. Lord, that we are filled with passion, that we are filled with the vision of what you've placed in every person's heart, the talents, the abilities, the things that you've placed in them to be able to do that causes such an impact beyond what they can even think or imagine, beyond what we can even see. Father, you have a great plan. I pray, Father, that we would step into that place, into an arena, Father, of trusting in you more, doing what you tell us to do, believing in your word and in your promises. Just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Shondoro brasati kororo brasati koroshoto. Brobobo shandiro brakira da 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 brasanti koroshoto. Brobaba shandi koroshoto rorom brasanti. Kiro rorom brambamba shati kobo shondo. Brababa kira da da shandi rorom brasanti koroshoto. Brababa shandi koro brababa shandi rorom brasanti. Kiro rorom brasanti koroshoto. Brobobo shoto kom brasanti koroshoto. Brambamba shandi rorom brasanti. You know, Paul was passionate for thinking he was passionate for something for the Lord, for the Father, for God. But God had to straighten up his vision because he was passionate for religion, but he wasn't passionate for Christ. He didn't know Christ. But once his eyes were opened to Christ, his vision got adjusted and aligned to the right thing. Sometimes we can have something in our heart and we're pursuing something, but our alignment is off. We don't have Christ as the center of it. We might even have ourselves as the center, and it might need to be adjusted. And I feel like there might be people in here today that your vision or your passion isn't necessarily off, but what it's connected to is. Your perspective of how it's supposed to be used and what you're using it for, the purpose of it, for God's kingdom, needs to be realigned. So, Father, I pray right now that there would be an alignment, that Christ would be the center of every person's vision. Lord, that even where areas, Father, that maybe it hasn't been bringing them fulfillment because Christ hasn't been attached to it. But I pray right now that you would give them that vision. You would give them that understanding of how the vision is attached to Christ. How that the very thing you've placed on the inside of them, where maybe they've been asking, what does this have to do with God? How does this have to impact his kingdom? I pray, Lord, that you would begin to show that and reveal that to them. Lord, that they would run with the fire that's in them. They would run their race and they would know, they would be able to connect that so that there would be a new freshness in their run and in their race. And I thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Every head bowed.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.